discover the inherent power of God in you.
Whether there are challenges or not, we are still the same. We are constant. God is constant. God does not change. And that is the life that we have received. It says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the same life we have also received. We are also the same yesterday, today, and forever. What kind of life? We are the same because we have the same life with Christ. So when you think about God, think about you. Because everything He is, that is why He told Abraham, He said, I am your exceeding great reward. God gave Himself as a reward to Abraham. And we are the seed of Abraham. Therefore, we have inherited God Himself.
Listen to Pastor Oti Boateng as Christ is magnified in you.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to lift up your right hand towards heaven and just give Jesus the thanks and the praise for His goodness. Father, we are grateful. We are thankful. Our hearts and our minds are full of thanksgiving, full of gratitude. Thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for all that you do with us. Thank you for your goodness. Yes. You are so good. We appreciate you for who you are. Let your word come to us afresh tonight. Bring a change in our hearts. Take us higher in glory. Let us see and experience your word. Dear Holy Spirit, please help us with your spirit of wisdom and revelation. Grant us the spirit of understanding this evening. Grant us the spirit of counsel. Give us instructions as we hear your word. Counsel us, Lord. Guide us, Lord. And take us to the place you have designed for us to be. Thank you for healing tonight. Thank you for strength tonight. Thank you for prosperity tonight. Thank you for establishment in your word some more tonight. We give you glory for this opportunity, even in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You may kindly take your seat in heavenly places. Hallelujah. So last night, we tried to start out on 10 benefits of being a part of the body of Christ, isn't it? Do you remember? Of being a member, 10 benefits of being a member of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And I think I focused on the cherishing benefit, the benefit of being cherished by Jesus Christ, isn't it? Yes. The benefit of being cherished by Jesus Christ. Because you are in the body of Christ, because you are part of His body, He takes that responsibility in your life. At the height of Jesus' pain and sufferings, He handed over His mother to John on the cross. As He was on the cross in pain. Can you imagine? Why would you talk about your mother when you are dying? He was so responsible and so caring that He handed His mother over to John and handed John over to His mother. What a blessing. So Jesus cares. Tell me about Jesus cares.
Jesus cares.
Maybe nobody, no human being cares for you. But remember that Jesus cares for you. Maybe that boy that you were hoping to care for you, it's not caring for you, but you should know that Jesus cares. Tell your neighbor, Jesus cares.
Jesus cares.
Yeah. He cares about you watchfully. He cares about you affectionately, isn't it? He cares about you watchfully. He cares about you affectionately. When Saul of Tarsus was destroying the church, taking some into prison, assisting for some to be killed, killing some and all of that, Jesus appeared to him and told him that, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You are persecuting me. It is me you are persecuting. That shows you how much identified Jesus is with us. So if someone touches you, he has touched Jesus. You are the apple of God's eye. That's what the Bible says. You protect your eyes naturally. Naturally. If there's an accident, the first thing you do is this, not this. Or this. Is it true? You do this. It's just reflex. You go straight to your eye. You want to protect your eyes. And God says that we are the apple. We are the black inside. The black inside. That's what we are. Can you imagine? It's in the Bible, Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8. He says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, after the glory has he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye." The one who touches you has touched the apple of God's eye. Yeah, that is very wild. The one who touches you has what? Has touched the apple of God's eye. So God cares for you. He cares about you. Why? Just because you are part of the body of Christ. Just because you are part of the body of Christ. So never think that you are not loved. The Bible lets us know that we are accepted in the beloved. Actually, we are accepted as the beloved. Our acceptance is the acceptance of Jesus. Or Jesus' acceptance is our acceptance. Because Jesus has been accepted by God, you and I are also accepted. Why? Because we are one with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not exciting to come boldly to the throne of grace without any guilt, any condemnation, any of those things. To know that wherever you pray, God will hear you. Or however you pray, God will hear you. Oh yes. Some of the greatest testimonies we have had are prayers I prayed when I was feeling tired. I didn't feel like, I was not feeling in faith. Because faith is not about feeling. It has nothing to do with feelings. It has nothing to do with feelings. It has everything to do with what Christ did. Jesus' faith is our faith. Can you imagine? Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. The faith that Jesus has is the same faith that we have. What a shock. Look at it. It says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Have you seen it? Then it says, "And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." The faith that I have is the faith of the Son of God. Not my faith, but the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So my faith is the faith of Jesus Christ. The faith that Jesus had is the same faith that I have. It's not watered down at all. Look at the next verse. Verse 21. He says, "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." 22. There's no 22. That's it. There's another verse somewhere that talks about the faith of Jesus Christ. Go to verse 16 and let me see something. Hopefully it's verse 16. Yes. It says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the faith of the law, but by the faith of" who? A man is justified by who? The faith of Jesus Christ. Or a man is made and declared not guilty. How? Not by his faith, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. This is English. By the faith of Jesus Christ. So Jesus gives you his faith at your new birth. A man is justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ. You have Jesus' faith. That is why you can remove mountains. Say, "I can remove mountains." You go home, your mother is sick, lay hands on her and pray for her. Don't call your pastor. You don't have to call your pastor. It's called power to the people. God wants to give you power. Yes. God has given you power, so much power. The problem is that you are not using it. Start using your power. Tell neighbor, start using your power. Start using your faith, brother. Start using your faith, sister. So tonight, I just want to push it a bit further. There's no way we can finish, but I just want to push it a bit further. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Wow. So Jesus is the head of the body, right? He's the head of the body, isn't it? Yes. And we are the body of the head. Inseparable. So one of the things you enjoy, one of the benefits we enjoy is the benefit of oneness with God. Did I mention that yesterday? But I didn't talk about it, isn't it? I majored on cherishing. So today I want to start with oneness with God. Oneness with the Godhead. We enjoy, one of the benefits we enjoy is the benefit of being one with the Godhead. Can you imagine that as you are seated here, you are one with the Godhead? I mean, these are things that they are not just words, though. Don't wait and get to heaven and it's like you get to know, hey, all these things were done for us and you didn't use it. And you missed out. It will be very, very painful. So don't wait till you get to heaven before you realize and before you think deeply about it. If you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, the Bible says that, but he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Isn't it? He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with him. We have been joined to the Lord. How? Through the new birth. Do you know that if you know someone very well, you can use his legs to determine that is the person? You can tell. Even his footsteps cry, you can know. Even how the person bangs the door. Everybody bangs the door differently. Everybody closes the door. If you've been in the house for a long time, you know how if someone closes, the door closes, you know who is coming. Some people close it very carefully. Some people bang, bam, and then they come. Is it true? The way they even open the door. They open it, blah, like that. Hallelujah. Just look at something like that, like this. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. One spirit. One spirit. One spirit. We are one with the Godhead. Do you understand that? This is very deep. Oh. This is very deep. You are one. We are one with the Godhead. It's called oneness. First John chapter 14, verse 20. Jesus said, at that day, you shall know. At that day, which day? At the day when, in these days, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Inseparable. He says, at that day, you shall know. So you have to know that you are in him and that he's in you. And it's a mingling. Say it's a mingling. Just imagine if you were walking around with that in mind. That you are joined to the Lord. You are one with the Lord. What it means is that the abilities of the Godhead are your abilities. What I just said is very big. It's strange. It's strange to your, it may be strange to your ears. Your abilities are the abilities of the Godhead. It's very wild though. Jesus multiplied bread. Bread can multiply in your house. Why? As he is, so are we in this world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. As Jesus is, so are we. Why? We are part of the body of Christ, isn't it? Look at this. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of Jesus, of judgment. Because as he is, as he is, so are we in this world. So are we in this world. As he is, so are we. As he is, so are we. These are things you need to meditate on. You need to think about. There's nothing else to look at. These are the things to look at. I don't know what else you are looking for. Where is your power going to come from? Where is the power of God going to come from? It's here. These are the power of the Godhead is available for you. Wow. Look at a verse like that. The one who hears you has heard me. If someone is hearing you, the person is hearing me. Dr. Polinenche said he was reading that verse and he was just thinking about it. As he was thinking and meditating on it, they brought a young man, a medical student who had gone mad some years ago and had been chained and all of that, everything, a lot of things. They brought him to him. And then he came out of his office. When he came out of his office, he said to the guy, you are not mad. Then he told the guy, say after me, you are not mad. I'm not mad. You see, because he was thinking about this verse in Luke chapter 10, verse 16. He says, he that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. But he was just focusing on the first part. He that heareth you, heareth me. The one who hears you. If someone is hearing your voice, he's hearing God's voice. Why? Because your voice is God's voice. Why? Because you are joined to him. You are one with him. Have you seen it? So as he was speaking, you are not mad. Say you are not mad. Pastor Paul said he had this verse in his mind. As the guy is hearing me, he's hearing Jesus' voice. And he told them, take off the, because they are chained him, they have put something around his neck and they took it off. And that was how the guy got his healing. That was it. No prayer, no nothing. He that heareth you, heareth me. So, brothers and sisters, we have to focus on the word of God. You see, focus on what Jesus has done. And stop. Don't try to accomplish certain things by yourself. Do you see? As he is, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. If someone takes your picture to someone to do something to you, you should give him a better picture. Tell him the picture he's taking is not good. You have not posed well in the picture. Or you give him one that you have posed well. One that you are looking fresh. And then you can take it. Feel free and take it. Yeah. No one can touch you. Do you know where you are? Do you know where you are seated? The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. He says that, look at Colossians 3, 3. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. 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 Charlie, just sit down and just think about these things. My life is hid with Christ in God. My life is hid with Christ in God. My life is hid with Christ in God. What belongs to the Godhead belongs to you now. Why? Because you are, God has included you. God is the one who has included you. Are we the ones who did this? It is God who did it. We are not, you have nothing to do with these things. You couldn't have done it. There's no way you could have done it. Jesus himself said that, I want this to happen. He says, at that day you shall know that I am in you. And the Father is in me. And you are in me as well. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, one of the most popular scriptures, it says, if any man be in Christ, you are now in Christ, and Christ is in you. It says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Remembering that Christ is in you is what brings you exultant results, so much results, plenty results. Remembering who is in you and who you are in him. The fact that you are in him and the fact that is in you is what puts you over. Just thinking about it. The Godhead does not fail. How can I fail? If I'm one of the Godhead and the Godhead does not fail, how can I fail? I do not fail. Success is mine. I enjoy the goodness of God all the days of my life. Listen, the Bible says that God is pleased to dwell in you. God is pleased. It's God's greatest pleasure. Yeah. Have you heard it before? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. You like what I'm sharing with you? It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? He calls you righteousness. And he calls those who are outside the house of God unrighteousness. Then he says, and what communion has light with darkness? He says, you are light. You are what?
Light.
He didn't say you will be light or you walk in light. He says that you are light. You are light. We are children of light. Why? Because our Father is light. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And then he says that you are also the light of the world. Why? Because you are one with him. We are joined with him. We are one with him. Tell me about
take your time
and meditate on these verses. How can my company fail? How can my company fail? If I understand that when I touch that company, it is God who has touched it. God's way. You know, one day, T.L. Osborne went to a shopping mall. He went to a corner shop, you know. These corner shops are, corner stores are like these provision shops that you have around. You see. When he entered, the shop attendant started running away. He ran away. Then he said, so he was, and the guy ran, and then he looked at him and said to me, he was wondering. He said, well, you come close. So the guy came close. And he said, well, why were you running away? And he said, I saw Jesus' face on your face. I saw Jesus' face on your face. And T.L. Osborne said, oh, you know he's in me. Every now and then he comes out to take fresh air. Every now and then he comes out to take fresh air. He's so conscious of the fact that he's in him. How can I fail? Jesus is in me. Yes, Jesus is in me. The one who conquered death is in me. How can I die? I can't die like a chicken. I will never die like a chicken. The one who owns, who has the keys of hell and death is inside me. How can I fail? I'm one with the one
who is the head of all principality and powers. I'm one with the one who is who all wisdom. Eh? The Bible says that all wisdom and knowledge are in him, and you are in him. So you have access to all. That is why you shouldn't bump in school. You shouldn't bump. No, a child of God should not bump. No, you should not bump. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. You have understanding. Why? Because the one who owns all wisdom and all knowledge is inside you, and you are inside him. So you are dwelling in wisdom and you are dwelling in knowledge. So you cannot be foolish, and you cannot be stupid, and you cannot be daft. No, 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 no. Your intelligence is in your understanding and your recognizing the fact that Jesus is in you. And knowing that Jesus who's in you is the embodiment of all wisdom and knowledge. It's Jesus in whom I hid. In Jesus, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, all treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Jesus. And you are in Jesus. So you are seated in a place where all wisdom and all knowledge is found. So no matter the subject you find yourself studying, you can pass because you see, when you open the book, you start telling yourself, or the one who has all wisdom and all knowledge is in me. I have understanding. I have understanding. When I read, I understand. Don't say that I'm not going to read because I have all wisdom and knowledge. No, you don't say that. No, you don't say that. Okay? No. Because what you have not read, you will never know. Jesus told the disciples in John chapter 15, verse 26. Okay, look at John 15, 26. No, 14, 26. Sorry, 14, 26. Yes. He says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you what? All things. He shall teach you all things, and he shall bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you." What I have not said, he will not bring to your remembrance. It is only what I have said to you that will bring to your remembrance. It is only what you have read that it brings to your remembrance. If you have not read, it's not bringing anything to your remembrance. There's nothing to bring to your remembrance. There's nothing to bring to your remembrance. You've not read anything. You didn't go for the lecture. What should we remind you of? You didn't go for the lecture. What should he remind you of? You weren't there when we were teaching it. And even though you didn't go for the lecture, and you didn't also read. So what is he going to remind you of? No data. There's no data. No data. Empty head, no remembrance. Yes. So whilst you're sitting in the lecture hall and they are lecturing. they are lecturing. What do you say to yourself? I have understanding. I am one with Christ. I have understanding. I can understand all things. I have all knowledge. I can understand all knowledge. Yes. All knowledge. Daniel chapter 1 verse 17. Look at Daniel 1 17. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning. So they were learning, and God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. Are you seeing it? Yes. They were learning. As they were learning, God gave them knowledge in the learning and gave them skill concerning what they were learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So why are you not learning? What is wrong with you? BB says, "Now as for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and made them experts in all book learning." Yeah, all book learning and wisdom. So as they are learning, God is granting them access. What others do not understand, they can understand. What is difficult for them to understand at the workplace, God gives them the ability to understand. One of our brethren, he was just here some few minutes ago, that one of our brothers from Tamale, he's now a sought after person with what he does because of the kind of understanding he has of the things that they are doing, even though he did not go to school for it. Because of some of these things, he's now sought after. He's called to different countries to come and lecture it, to come and teach what they do and help others understand. Meanwhile, he's not been there for long. Now he chooses what time he will go to work. Yeah, the thing is at his beck and call because now he's an expert in it.
Because God has given him understanding, depth, wisdom concerning it. That's what I'm talking about. All book learning. So you can't say you're not going to read. What is wrong with you? Tell me about what is wrong with you. Are you okay? Why are you sleeping all the time? Why are you sleeping all the time? Jesus was not lazy. The God we have in us is not lazy. God worked for 6 days and rested on the seventh day. You know when to rest. You don't rest at all times. You're always lying down. You're always resting. You're always lying down. It doesn't show that Christ is in you. You are not tapping into the Christ who is in you. You are failing with respect to the Godhead that is working in you. Because the Godhead comes with excellence. There's excellence. Excellence. Do you see? Excellence. I came here. You see, I left Takrade yesterday morning. Okay? Went to Accra and came to Kumasi. Was it yesterday I came? I came yesterday, right? I came yesterday. Yes. I'm going to Tamale on Tuesday. Yes. I preached last night. When I came, I preached. I've been in meetings since Tuesday. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Tomorrow I'm going to preach. I'm flying back to Accra to another meeting tomorrow. And I keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going. Working, doing what I'm supposed to do, making time for my family as well. At the same time, not that I'm working, so I forgot about my family. I have to make time for my family because the Godhead in me, the oneness I have, God does not neglect and ignore anyone. He doesn't ignore and neglect anyone. He's balanced, brother. He's balanced. Are you in the church? So you don't say that, oh, I mean, I have all wisdom and all knowledge, so let me just go to bed. You have to read. You have to wake up and read. Wake up and study. Eh? Go to class and go and study. Find some place and sit down and learn. Or else you are not going to pass. You are not going to pass. You have to read. You have to work hard. The grace of God makes you labor. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed on me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than them all. Isn't it? But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. I labored. I worked. I did what I was supposed to do. I was going up and down, to and fro. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Who went about? Jesus was not sitting down. He went about. He was a wenter about. He was into wenting about. Today you find him here. Tomorrow you find him there. About his father's business. He was a wenter about. Doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. If God is with you and God is in you, you will become a wenter about. You will not be a lazy dude or a lazy girl. Sitting down not doing anything. And yet expecting prosperity to come. It doesn't work like that. Tell me, but it doesn't work like that. Slap your neighbor and say, it doesn't work like that, brother. Let that foolishness leave your life. Christ is your wisdom. Christ is your wisdom. You have right knowledge. And hence you apply it rightly. Yes. Wisdom, they say, is the right application of the knowledge you have. Using the knowledge you have rightly, properly. Properly. I will never fail in my life. Christ is in me. I will never fail in my life. Wisdom is dwelling in me. The Bible says that wisdom is profitable to direct. Wisdom is what? Profitable to direct. The wisdom of God directs you in life. Christ is my wisdom. Because you are one with him, he is your wisdom now. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says that of him, but of him are ye in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Christ is made unto us wisdom. The Christ in us is wisdom. He's the wisdom of God for us. Wisdom. Knowing what to do at all times. I do not lack wisdom. I know what to do. That project work is not going to be a problem for me. It's not going to be a problem for me. I have wisdom. I have wisdom. One of our ladies, one of our pastors, you know, was ascribed one of the best in her field. You see? And she did her project without assistance from any supervisor, because the supervisors were not minding her. And she sat down and asked, I told God, listen, you are my wisdom. I am one with you. I have access to wisdom. I have access to all knowledge. As I open these books and as I try to understand, I know that I have understanding. Christ is my wisdom. Christ is my understanding. The spirit of wisdom is working in me. The spirit of understanding is working in me. And she started studying a thing. She understood everything and did her project perfectly and had the best. She was adjudged the best without any supervision. There was no supervision coming. How did she do it? Through the things I'm telling you now. Are you in the church? Jesus is wisdom for you. He's wisdom for you. You cannot fail. His knowledge is the knowledge of God. You are one with him. God is pleased to dwell in you if you remember. Yes, let's go back to that place. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 6, verse 14. What fellowship has light with darkness, if you remember? Then the next verse 15 says that. Go to verse 15 now, please. And what concord has Christ with Belial? He calls you Christ and calls them Belial, who is the head of demons. What concord has Christ? Can you imagine? We are so one with him that he calls us Christ. Why? Because of the... Pastor Kobe, please come. You won't say... when you say Pastor Kobe, it's not his head that will come. Oh, Pastor Kobe, please come. The whole body is coming. Head, leg, everything is coming. Everything is Pastor Kobe. So because we are the members, Christ is not one. Christ, he says that... Look at Romans chapter 12. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Verse 4. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Verse 5. So we be many are one body in Christ. Even though we are many, we are one body in Christ. And everyone members one of another. Have you seen it? So Christ is not one. If you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. For as the body is one, and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many are one body, so also is Christ. So Christ is one body with many members. Even if you are the smallest finger of Jesus Christ, a fingernail, when they say Christ, it is in reference to you as well. Hallelujah. Are you in the church? Yes. Meaning that the personality or the person of the body, it's your personality as well. Why am I kind? I'm kind because I'm in Christ. Are you seeing it? Why are you kind? I'm kind because I'm in Christ. Christ was kind. He was lovely. He was loving. That is how I am. Why? Because I am in Christ. I am Christ. I am one with the Godhead. The attributes of the Godhead are my attributes. The attributes of love, of patience, of kindness, of gentleness, of excellence. It's mine. That is how I am. Why? Because of what I have become. Because of what I have become. I am now a member. We can't say that Pastor Kobe's hand is good, is righteous, but his stomach is not righteous.
Thank you for the message.
Hallelujah. We know why we are laughing. Hey! Because of some pork and things inside, the stomach is not righteous. It doesn't make any sense. Are you see what I'm talking about? So Jesus' righteousness is your righteousness. That's what is written in 1 Corinthians 1:30. It says that Christ is righteousness unto us. Jesus, we are accepted because Jesus is accepted. Jesus took our place. Jesus took our place of sin and suffering. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. I'm sorry for quoting too many scriptures, okay? Forgive me. I'm just trying to help you understand. It says, for he has made him to be sin. Jesus was made to be sin. Jesus was punished for sin. Everything that we deserved, the errors, our problems, all the things that we did, okay, that made us deserve death and made us deserve eternal damnation and eternal separation from God, Jesus became. It was put on Jesus. Everything was put on him. Our sickness, our diseases, everything that you can think about was put on Jesus. He took our place, brother. And God is a God who is just. God made sure that Jesus was punished for every single thing that we needed to be punished for. He didn't leave even a single thing out. Jesus became the sin offering. The sin offering, okay, you see, when the offerer comes, he lays his hands on the offering. And then he communicates all his sin and all his errors on the offering. And then the offering, that sheep, is taken away and destroyed, taken out of the camp and destroyed out of the camp. That was what Jesus became.
John the Baptist saw Jesus passing by and said, behold, there's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus became the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. He took away your sin. He took your sin away. He took your sin, your sicknesses, your diseases, your failures, your problems. He took everything away. No, he didn't leave anything. He took everything. He was made to be sin. Jesus knew no sin, but he was made to be sin. He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh and was made for sin. The reason why he came was so that he can die. In the Old Testament, when they get the sheep, okay? When there were special shepherds that took care of the sheep that were going to be used for the sacrifices. When the sheep was born, they wrapped the sheep in swaddling cloths. Can you imagine?
Amazing.
They wrapped the sheep in swaddling cloths and checked and inspected the sheep in a manger. They put the sheep in a manger, wrapped in swaddling cloths, and check for every blemish and everything. If there's a blemish, they take it out. But if there's no blemish, they keep it and raise it until it gets to a place where it can be sacrificed. That was how Jesus also came. Jesus was wrapped in swaddling cloths because he is our sin offering. He is our sin offering. He was taken to be offered for sin. He was made sin for us. He was made sin, for he has made him to be sin for us. Who knew no sin? For what purpose? So that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Because Jesus took our place, now we have taken Jesus' place. Jesus took our place of condemnation, of damnation, of pain, of challenges, of poverty, of sicknesses, of failures, of death, of confusion, of infirmity, of every single thing you can think about. So that we can take his place of goodness, his place of love, his place of beauty, his place of health, his place of prosperity. He was made so that we might be made. So now God, you see, God will be unjust to not treat us like he treats Jesus. Now God treats you just like he treated Jesus when he was on earth. Yes. Why? Because you have now taken his place. You are now one with him. He is now your righteousness. Our righteousness is a person. His name is Jesus Christ. And Jesus never failed, so you also never fail. My righteousness never fails. Yes. Jesus was never sick on earth. Why? Because of his righteousness. Sin had no place on him. In him. Jesus said that the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. Have you read it before? The prince of this world cometh and he has nothing in me. Because Jesus did not have sin in him, he could not die. On three different occasions, they took stones to stone him, but it couldn't work. The one they were going to stone was walking past them. He walked past them in the midst of them. And they were seeing him walking past, and he couldn't do anything. Because death could not lay claim on him. Death could not lay claim on him. Why? Because of his righteousness. Because of his righteousness. Now, that righteousness is ours. So death cannot lay claim on you as well. Death cannot lay claim on you as well. Jesus died for the nature of sin and the actions of sin. Even your actions, the acts. Hebrews chapter 9. Let me show it to you. Please, you can take your seat. No, I want us to, God wants us to climb up to the place of liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I mean, a lot of us are just walking around with a lot of burden on our heads all the time. We've forgotten where we are, where our location. You are in him, brother. You are in him, sister. See, I'm in him. Yes, look at this. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 11. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come. By a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building. Next verse. Neither by the blood of goats and cows, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Verse 13. Then it says, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies the purifying of the flesh, how much more? If God forgot about their wrongs, for 1 year, because of, you couldn't destroy Israel. As long as Israel kept offering and sacrificing the sin offering and then the burnt offering, they were covered. Balaam came to come and curse them. The reason why he couldn't curse them was because they were covered. God said, I can't see iniquity in Israel. Why? Because there's continuous, the burnt offering keeps going and the sin offering has been sacrificed. Meanwhile, just before those verses, the guys were fooling around and not, they were messing around. It's called the righteousness of God. In Micah chapter 2, he calls it, he said, oh, let me look for it for you. You'll be surprised. You'll be shocked. Can you speak in tongues as I just look for this verse for you? Micah chapter 6, verse 5. Look at this. Look at this verse. It says, oh, my people, remember now. Micah 6, verse 5. It says, oh, my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted. And what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal. So that you may know the righteousness of the Lord. So what happened in that particular place? It's a declaration of the righteousness of God. I don't know if you get it. He says, remember now what Balaam, king of Moab, consulted. And what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal. They tried to curse them from Shittim all the way to Gilgal. Do you see? That you may know, so that you may know the righteousness of the Lord. When you remember that story, you remember and you will know the righteousness of the Lord. Yeah. Why? Because the offering had been made. So nobody could curse them. The devil could not have a place in their lives because their sins had been covered. So God could not behold iniquity in Israel. Are you in the church? That is why the greatest error in the Old Testament was the error of idolatry. Because whenever they got into idolatry, they forgot to sacrifice the sin offering and sacrifice the burnt offering. And so Israel is not covered and Israel is exposed and problems can come for them. They are removed from their land. As long as they kept offering the sin sacrifice and the burnt offering is Christ, our righteousness. As long as they kept doing that. Because when you lay hands on the sheep, the lamb, okay, the innocence of that lamb is transferred to the burnt offerings. The innocence of the burnt offering, the righteousness of that burnt offering is taken, the sheep that is going to be burnt, is given to you, the sinner. I don't know if you get it. Its innocence is taken to you, it's substituted. The sin offering, you lay hands on that lamb. There are two lambs. There's a sin offering and then there's a burnt offering. The sin offering, you, the sinner, lay hands on it and you transfer your sins to it. And it is crucified or destroyed. But the burnt offering, you lay hands on it and it is transferred. The innocence of that offering is transferred to you. And as long as these two things were happening, he says that I can't see any iniquity in Israel. So he says that if the blood of bulls and the sprinkling of an heifer made a difference, how much more? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? How much more? How much more? The blood of Jesus is bigger and greater than anything you can think about. We are now identified with him. We have now become the right. God does not see you. God only sees his son. God only sees Jesus Christ. Why? Because you are in Jesus. That's all Jesus. That's all God wants. God wants to see only Jesus. And you are in him. So when you stand before God, you are accepted. Why? Because you are in him. You are identified with the Godhead. Say, I'm identified with the Godhead. I'm one with the Godhead. Jesus is my righteousness. Jesus is my righteousness. I will never fail in my life. He took care of it, brother. He took care of it so that you'll be free. So that you'll be free. When you know how much you have been forgiven, you will love God a lot. When you know how much God has taken care of you, taking care of all your errors, all your problems, you will love him a lot. You will worship him. When you see how Jesus has been made a great sacrifice for you, you can't but bow down and just say thank you. Thank you. How can I say thanks? How can I say thanks? You end up serving him and you end up giving your life for him because you see what he did. He took everything so that you might be free. We are identified with him. Says God is pleased. God is pleased. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Wow. Oh, there's so much to say. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 15, please. And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? Verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? It says you are the temple of God. For ye are the temple of the living God. Not the dead God. You are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will. It is God's will to dwell in you. He says, I will dwell in them. And I'll walk in them. As you are walking, it's Jesus who is walking. Hallelujah. Jesus is walking in you. As you are talking, Jesus is talking in you. He's talking through you. Jesus could not be rejected and refused by anyone. I'm not rejected. I will never be rejected in my life. Because I'm in him. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Stop thinking like an unbeliever. Tell me about stop thinking like an unbeliever. Start thinking like a child of God. You are one with Christ. And it comes with so many benefits, so many nice benefits. His sanctification is your sanctification. Can you imagine? The sanctification of Jesus is now your sanctification. Yeah. It's wild. So just imagine yourself waking up in the morning and you're just thinking on some of these verses. I'm accepted as Jesus is accepted. The only qualification is to be born again. Nothing else. Every other thing we do out of our love for him. Why do we fast and pray? We fast and pray because of how much we love him. And to know what he wants us to do. Not because we want to be qualified before him or to be accepted. Your fasting and prayer cannot make you accepted before God. It has nothing to do with that. If you are fasting and praying because you want to be accepted, you'll be shocked. You'll be surprised. It's like functioning under the law. Reverend George is coming. He will say something to you. You will see. He will teach it well for you to understand. I mean, what I'm saying, you may not understand.